You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
We haven't talked to you since the Florida game. What did you guys do so well in the third quarter?
Early in the game, we just made some critical mistakes, and sometimes you make mistakes and you get the ball down and go to the next play. Those mistakes turn into touchdowns. Whether it was one guy, whether it was a group of guys, and guys wanted so much to play so well, they're early in the game. But just proud of the overall fight. Obviously we gave up way too many plays, too many points, but did enough to win the game in the end. But definitely, it was more of, there were a few things that we adjusted, but for the most part, it was just to refocus on what was important, how we needed to play certain sets.
Were the mistakes early communication for the most part?
No, more just, biting on actions that, their keys told them not to, or, I could have done a better job with them too, and, just things that we probably should have had doubled, they became one-on-ones, and then even the one-on-one wasn't great with the technique, so that was a big part of it.
Out of the locker room in the second half, were you guys more aggressive with the approach of the defense? And if so, how do you balance when to be versus when not to be?
Yeah, I mean, there's a plan, then there's a reaction to what the initial plan was. There's all those things constantly in a game. We're just trying to make sure we get stop after stop after stop. And, everything we call is to try to do that. We had Jamie at boundary safety for a little bit, and tried to use him to the best we could, but he was in a little bit different spot, and then on third down, just with the guys we had out there, we made sure that, we tried to just maximize the guys we had out there in different spots. We had a little bit more coverage grouping. Greedy and Kevin were out there together for the first time. So just tried to play to the strengths of the guys that we had. And then, in the second half, tried to play it a little bit more of regardless of the strengths, just who I knew that we were, and our guys responded. They, we do what we had to do to win the game, but definitely want to play better.
How has Shaheem grown in real time this year?
He came out of camp, and, last year Pac played a bunch for us. He was in Shaheem's role. Coming out of camp, Pac had a good camp. I thought Shai had a better camp. I thought the investment in him was going to be worth it. That came at Pac's expense. Shai got all of his reps this year. And, I thought it was worth the investment. Obviously, Friday night, he played the most plays he played, and he made some mistakes early, but we saw the benefits of the whole year. And, he's going to be a really good player in our football program. He already is, but to see him make some of those range plays he made, and, our safeties, they're going to make plays in the run game. They're going to blitz. They're going to overlap. They're going to be in man coverage. They're going to do a little bit of everything. But I thought he really made the most of his opportunity Friday night.
When Pac did get in there, it seemed like he knew what to do. Like, he's obviously been paying attention.
Yeah. Well, Ira, part of winning football is, when you get to the next guy, whether that's the third guy or the fifth, whatever that is at any position. We saw it with Pat Payton early this year. He was playing a little bit, but then he got thrust in a role because of injuries and because he was playing well, and that created more of a role. Pac's played winning football here, and just you just can't play him all the time. His opportunity came, and he was ready for it and came out there and made some critical plays in the fourth quarter to help us win the football game.
What has Jamie Robinson just meant to you as a coach and meant to this defense overall, I guess?
Yeah, he's been really impactful, Corey. We've identified, it's funny, you're going back now and watching just film to educate you on what you saw, what's real, what isn't, that helps you evaluate in the future. And, Jamie's everything I hoped he was from a player. He was a guy that never played really safety. He was a nickel at South Carolina. So, when we moved him, it was just because, okay, I've watched this kid play enough. Like, he'll answer a lot of things back there. And just, he's done a lot for us. And he's been pretty unselfish through it all, of just, Jamie, I need you to go do this. Yes. I need you to do this. Has it been perfect? No. But most of my relationships with great players isn't always perfect. You know what I mean? Because you're going to try to help them get where they want to go, which means they have to do some things that they don't really want to do, but they know they have to do. And it's our job to help them get there. So, you know, he's come a long ways. His attitude's been tremendous. And he's meant a lot to me just to see his individual growth and see how much that means to his mom and his family.
When you guys were looking at the portal, how big is that conversation? Coach, you, position coach, and how many people are involved in
that? It's not super organized the way it's set up now, not for our staff, but just nationally. I mean, there's certain dates guys can go in, there's certain dates they can't go in, and then there's constant word of mouth of this guy. And so it's really like we're all at the front line. And, you know, the minute a position coach watched somebody, you know, but sometimes I watch them first. Sometimes Mike did, and Mike hits me up, or I hit Mike up, or then I go to the position coaches, you know what I mean? Or it's somebody on offense saying, hey, this is a DB, or me saying, hey, I got a wide out. And it's just being super organized. And it goes back to just the fundamentals of our staff. We work really hard, and we don't like to fail, and we're going to do everything we can every day to try to make sure that we're seeing as many guys as possible and just making sure you're organized. And, you know, I think the hiring of Derek Ray has helped because it's offered you another group of eyes that see it the way we do. And so add them to the mix. So it's just more manpower. You just got to make sure it's all organized and you're all looking for the same thing and you're ready to, you know, because this thing moves really fast. And the only way to move fast is to make sure you do the work, because it's always about evaluating before it's about recruiting. You know, if it's the other way, you're going to make mistakes.
Is it easier to recruit a kid or to talk to a guy like Fabian or Jared and talk about their NFL prospects and, you know, guide them and give them the information on what's here and what could be your goals?
I don't understand your question. Is it easier to talk to a recruit or talk to our current players?
The amount of emotional sort of capital you have to invest in either getting a kid to come here or try to convince a kid like Jared or Jamie to stick around.
Yeah, I don't ever convince a guy to stay here. And when he asks me, I won't even tell him what to do. I'll just tell him what we can provide, you know, because, you know, there's different levels of what people want and what they're looking for and what they're willing to sacrifice to get where they want to go, you know. And so I learned as a coach early on, when it comes to those next steps, I'm going to provide the information. This is what we're going to give to you. This is how I'm going to provide for you and what we're going to give to you out of our own. But when it comes down to those decisions, that's on them individually. You know, and then the recruiting part, you know, it's offered. Now we have proof, you know, that we're going to evaluate and we're going to put you in positions. And, you know, so, but it's constant for sure.
When you go into the portal season, which is what we're calling it now, the portal season, 2 years ago, I imagine you needed bodies. You needed people that could come play. Not to denigrate the people that did come, but now are you more honed in on we need a need here? Is it a different approach going into?
I don't know if the approach is different, but what you're looking for is a little bit different. Listen, we're going to graduate some spots. We're deeper at certain spots than we are at other spots. Yeah, you know, and so I think you're looking for some more specifics instead of, you know, listen, we don't have this at all, you know. But you know, every year it's a little bit different, Corey. So, I mean, I just think the numbers where you're at in your 85 will tell you how broad of a scope you have. So, you know, right now, you know, I feel pretty specific about what we look for right now.
You brought up having proof when you're talking to recruits. How much has that changed the conversations here in the last 3 months?
Well, I mean, there's just, you know, as you win in this college football scope, this has always been a brand school. So people always like the logo. But now, you know, just a lot of our games are on prime time and they're on and people watch them. And so now the conversations of, coach, I saw how 10 played, or I saw how 5 played, or 11, or 4. You know what I mean? And they're using examples, which I don't have to set up a Zoom to show them, right? Now it's, you know, you got lead-ins a little bit more, you know, but at the end of the day, you still got to prove it to each individual, you know, of what the fit is and how this thing's going to look for them.
How much are you seeing from Tay Woody since you guys got him on
your team? Not a lot yet. You know, just, you know, I've had 3 or 4 sit downs with him just to try to tell him the things that I think he can direct his focus on. But, you know, right now he's unblockable in his mind. So we'll just keep working with him.
The young defensive linemen you guys have, not all of them got a ton of playing time. Some did.
Yeah.
But you got, you know, Josh, I think, had the most tackles for loss of any freshman in the conference. Pat, defense rookie of the year. How excited are you about those young defensive linemen?
Yeah, really excited. You know, they played for a reason. I already made a statement. I mean, Josh played against Louisville, and it did not look like the Josh Farmer that we know we would have. But that's part of it. You know, you hope you get the program in place that you don't have to see those growth examples in game time. You go through it out here. You know, but sometimes your program gets depleted in a way that those guys are going to play, and they're going to learn through failure and success. And, you know, we've had the ability, you know, I thought Daniel Lyons probably in other years could have played some more. But now we've held him, and now he's got a bowl game to be able to help us in. Same thing with Omar Graham. You know, they've played three. Now we've got them a fourth, and now they get to go get an experience and get to go practice for 4 or 5 weeks, to knowing they get a chance to have a role, you know, whatever that role that's going to be. So, you know, and we played a lot of freshmen around here, you know, and the ones that played usually deserve to play, but some guys were forced into action. But it's just, it's good to be able to have it, and the system's in place now, but the work is constant.
Have a good one. Awesome. Thank you, Adam.
Good guys. Thank you all.